So things that, teenagers will not understand. These are things and pains that we had to go through. And if you want to jump in here, it's fine. Here's the first one. Awkwardly asking to speak to the right person during a call. Nobody has to do that anymore. Teenage years can be awkward enough, calling a crush at their house or having to converse with their parents before you could speak to them just exasperated things. These days, most teens already have their own phones and are likely to text instead of call anyway. It's true. You call to talk to somebody, and you know, when you're a kid or a teenager, and you know, the parents or the older brother or the sister answer the phone, and then you got to make small talk with them. Don't have to do that anymore. And you know, I don't even think a lot of kids, I don't think a lot of kids call each other anyway. I think most, and I don't really call anybody. The only people that I call, and I call them every day, are my folks. But for the most part, when I use my phone, it's 95% of the time I text. But yeah, there were those days when you would have that. How about this? Running out of blank disks. Back in the day, a cloud was just something in the sky, and we needed a stash of floppy disks to save our files. Things improved when we started burning CDs, but only slightly. So kids don't have to worry about running out of blank disks. Just save it to the cloud, man. Here's another one of pains that today's teens will never understand. Being unable to read someone's handwriting. Yeah, that's true. You don't have to do that very often. Do people still write to each other? Because you got email, you got text, you got all that stuff. Fonts have replaced penmanship in the digital age. Since we read most things as text on a screen, we no longer have to spend endless minutes trying to decipher an important memo. Does anybody write, Dan? Does anybody write anymore?
We were actually having this conversation. I think it's only for thank you notes. You know,
right.
But you know, occasionally here and there. But I can't think of the last time I sat down to write somebody a letter that wasn't a thank you note.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah, and my writing is just terrible. It's just terrible. You know why? Because that teacher kept trying to force me to write with my right hand.
That's right.
And it affected the way I write with my left hand. So. Hey, by the way, you know, when we were talking about the International Left-Handed Day, which was on Monday, and I hope you all celebrated spectacularly. Dan, have you seen one of the logos that they had for Left-Handers Day?
No.
It was someone's left hand, and on it was written the words, "I am a lefty." But here's the thing. That was written with a right hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. If it's written on your left hand and it says, "I am a lefty," then maybe somebody else wrote it for you, or you're actually lying and you wrote it with a right hand.
Or it could be people who had the same experience that you did but didn't have their mom come in and correct them and were eventually forced to learn how to write with their right hand.
I'm a lefty, but I don't write with my left hand. But I just, when I looked at the image, I was like, wait a second. This person would have had to have write that with their right hand.
Correct.
So, anyway, that was... Oh, boy. How about this? Pains that today's teens will never understand. Repurchasing worn-out albums or movies. Any music or movie lover of a certain age can recall the awful experience of listening to an album or watching a movie only to find that it was damaged at your favorite part. Now that most things are digital, you don't even have to worry about scuffing out scratches on a DVD. That's true. Dan, did you ever have to replace a movie or a record or a CD?
You know, I never did. I just tried to, like they said, buff it out enough. But, you know, there was definitely, and I think you had this experience with like 8-track players where you just get used to the click. The click becomes part of the song at a certain point. You know,
yeah.
You just, I never... By that point, we were transitioning away from CDs that digital music was available.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to replace it. But, like, the ones that I did have, it just, you know,
was. I played the hell out of a lot of albums, and I had to replace them. And there were VHS movies that I had to replace, too. I had to replace Phantasm because I played the hell out of it. You know, I saw the movie over 100 times in the theater upon its release, and then I got the VHS copy of it, and I watched that till it was, like, gone. But, yeah, old records, too. That's another one. The only, here's the thing, Dan, the only, album that I ever had on every format. Okay, I guess except now because they're digitally and stuff. So yeah, every format. The only album that I ever had on every single format, which means I had it on vinyl, I had it on cassette, I had it on 8-track, and I had it on CD. Zeppelin 2. That's the only album that I ever had on all possible formats. And you mentioned 8-track. Anybody who owned the 8-track of Zeppelin 2, and you know, you just talked about the four, there's four separate tracks. Even though it's called an 8-track, there were four channels, you know, that you would, that it would click over. So you'd, channel one would probably normally have like maybe 2-3 songs on it. Then it would click over to channel two. And if you wanted to hear a specific song, you could click it and go to channel two or channel three or channel four. Well, in the '70s, you know, people just, you know, the album, that album came out in 1969. Zeppelin II came out in 1969, if I'm not mistaken, 68 or 69. And we had the 8-track in the house. And sometimes, whatever the label, the record company, the 8-track makers would actually fade a song in the middle of it. It would go to silence and it would go, and it would click over to the next track and then fade up. Which is the stupidest, I mean, the most annoying thing ever. You're listening to a song, and then it fades to nothing. You hear the click, it goes to the next channel, and then it fades back up.
I mean, how long of a fade are we talking? Like, is it a long fade, or was it just...
Kind of not a huge long fade, but it fades, and then you have silence, click, and then it fades back up. But not a long fade, either up or down. But So it happened during Ramble On, which is, you know, one of the greatest Zeppelin songs of all time. It happened on Ramble On. It would go to, I think, channel two to channel three. And it was always at the part, because the one part I always remembered whenever I would listen to it on 8-track, it would be the part where, it was in the darkest depths of Mordor, I met a girl so fair, and then it would fade. But Gollum, the evil one, crept up and slipped away with her. It's that part. And it would fade down in the middle of that sentence. It would fade to nothing. Like right when Gollum is going to take his girl and then come back up. You know, when I was a kid and I listened to that song, I didn't know Lord of the Rings. I had no idea. You know, I didn't know what the hell Lord of the Rings was and how much of the lyrics of Led Zeppelin have been inspired by J.R.R. Tolkien. It's ridiculous. That song, if you listen to the actual lyrics of that song, knowing the books and the movies, that song is ridiculous. I mean, Gollum is going to steal your girl? He wants his precious. He doesn't want your girl. They had so many, I mean, Zeppelin, if you look at some of their lyrics, ridiculous. Like all the sword and sorcery stuff and the mystical crap that they did. I mean, I love Led Zeppelin. They're one of the greatest bands of all time, one of my favorite bands of all time. But come on, man. Gollum's going to steal your girl? Have you looked at Gollum? He's not going to steal your girl. Unless she's wearing that ring. That's maybe she was wearing that ring.
If you ever get a chance
yeah.
to interview Robert Plant,
yeah.
you'd be like, Gollum, really?
Yeah.
Is he going to steal your girl? That'd be your one question.
You know what? I'm sure they heard that all kinds of crap for years about that. Because Ian Page, Jimmy Plant and Robert Plant and Jimmy Page wrote some of the most ridiculous, like, fantasy-inspired lyrics of all time, Esmeralda. If you ever get a chance to actually listen to the lyrics of some of their songs, it's like, what are you talking about? And there are all these kinds of weird references to Tolkien's world and hobbits and crap. It's like, what? Like, you guys ripped off a bunch of African-American blues guys so that you could add lyrics about Lord of the Rings to it?
I'm more disturbed by the Lemon Song, but that's just me.
Well, the Lemon Song is that, you know, and that's another one, though. And that's also on Zeppelin 2, by the way. But that's another one, Esmeralda, that totally ripped off from an old blues dude. Completely ripped off. And then they added, like, I'm going to squeeze my lemon till the juice runs down my leg. That whole thing, they kind of added, they sexualized it even more than the old blues guys did. But that riff and what mostly of what that song is about, they stole so much stuff from the old blues men, the old African-American blues guys. There actually was a lawsuit. They ended up, they never gave credit to those guys. Like, every song was written by Page and Plant. And you put on you put on something like the Lemon Song or Or Heartbreaker, you put that on, and you're like, dude, you didn't write this. What are you talking about? How come the only credits here are Page and Plant? But they had to actually give money to the estate of to the estates of a lot of these guys because they took they stole their riffs and then added Gollum. So that anyway, all right. So that's what happened on the 8-track. We'd click out right in the middle of Ramble On, and I would get mad every single time. All right, we got a break, and we are talking about things that today's teens will never understand. And if you want to jump in with the stuff that we had to do, the painful, annoying stuff that we had to do back in the day that kids don't have to do now, jump in at 312-981-7200. Yeah, Top Cat! Wildcat. I said Wildcat Wednesday. That's every Wednesday in Dave Ennett's house. See what I did there? Wild Card Wednesday. That's any artist, any song, anything. And Dino requested the Top Cat theme song from Top Cat. Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the best film debut performances ever in their very first movies. And we're also going to open it up to the first time you ever noticed a certain actor or actress, even if it wasn't their first movie, like their breakthrough performance. Maybe they made two or three low-budget movies before that, but we're going to talk about those breakthrough performances and those amazing first movie performances. And that's coming up a little bit later on. But right now we're talking about pains and stuff that we had to do that was a pain in the neck that today's teens will never, ever understand. We were talking about awkwardly asking to speak to the right person during a call, running out of blank discs, being unable to read someone's handwriting, repurchasing worn-out albums or movies. Those are all some of the things that we are talking about here, pains that today's teens will never understand. And if you want to jump in and do a little reminiscing about stuff like this and make us all feel old, call us or text us right now at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And here is Trucker Rich. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. How about yourself?
All right.
Hey, I never did see a yarn wrapped ring on Dana's hand. I thought that'd be a good. I thought that would just be a good picture to see how many people actually watch your show and comment.
But. Yeah. I did not bring my high school class ring to Flashback Weekend. I didn't think of that. But yes, right. I certainly would have had her wear my class ring with the yarn wrapped around.
Yes. But the thing, kids now or teenagers nowadays is since I'm 63. Kids nowadays will never have the frustration of being in driver's ed with two of your friends in the back seat trying to take off from a standing start uphill with your driver's ed instructor sitting next to you trying to tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
That was the most frustrating thing of driver's ed.
Yeah, well, that was always, and there was a break on the, they in the cars that you would take out on the road, there was a brake installed in the passenger side. So that they could they could slam on the brake. If you're driving like a lunatic, they have access to put an extra brake on the passenger side for the instructor.
Right, but our instructor never used that unless we were going forwards. I mean, he'd let us roll backwards and embarrass ourselves, and you know, our friends would be in the back seat laughing, and So then you finally just look at him and smile, and because we were teenage boys, rev it up till the engine started to rattle, and then just snap the clutch out.
Right.
And, say, there, I got off the hill.
There you go. And also, kids don't know what a clutch is these days.
unless they see an old cartoon called Cargo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rich.
Right.
Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Yeah, driving stick is another thing. Huh? If a kid got into a car that was manual transmission, they'd be like, huh, what is this thing? What am I doing? What's this? Why is there another pedal? What the hell is happening here? So, all right. We got a break here. We're talking about things and pains that today's teens will never understand. And we got the news coming up next. There's an earworm for everybody this morning. Wildcard Wednesday. 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. 773 area code requested the Muppet Show's Menomina. Esmeralda, have you seen the trailer for the new R-rated disgusting, filthy Muppet movie?
I have.
Oh, my God. Did you see the Red Band trailer?
Yes.
What's it called? The Happy Time Murders?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, the Happy Time Murders. And it's the live-action star of it is Melissa McCarthy. But Jim Henson's son directed it, and they've been going out of their ways, you know, on the TV commercial, because it comes out in a couple of weeks. So they've been going out of their ways, because I watch, you know, The Daily Show every, either in the morning or, you know, the night before I come to work, I watch The Daily Show, and they've been starting to do ads on Comedy Central. And one of the ads just consists of a Muppet saying, "Do not take your kids to see this movie. I may be cute and there might be Muppets in it, but don't take your kids." I can't even imagine if someone brought their kids to see that movie after having seen the Red Band trailer. My God. Dan, have you seen the Red Band trailer?
I have not. No.
Oh man. it's unbelievable. So I hope it's good. I mean, I really do, because, you know, filthy puppets, dirty puppets, that's funny. So, hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. Here's something the kids didn't have to worry about back in the day. They didn't have to worry about R-rated Muppets. But back in the day, we had to do stuff that today's kids don't understand and would never have to do. And we want to jump in with that and get back to that at 312-981-7200. Let's see. John says, having snow days, then having to make up the workload when you got back. Today, they have e-learning days. Dan, what's e-learning days? You must know about that.
It's basically the teacher will say, here are your assignments for the day. Read this. You know, this is what we would have done in class today. So, or some fancier schools actually have Skype sessions where your teacher will broadcast from
there. Wow.
You know, to save us the time, they could have done that too. Just called everybody and said, hey, read this.
He called everybody.
They got telephone trees. Instead, then, yeah, you'd get stuck at the end of the school year.
Right.
You'd then have to stay longer.
The thing was, though, there are a lot more snow days nowadays than when I was going to school. And I'm going to sound like a real, you know, I walk to school, hey, uphill both ways, hey, da-da, you kids with your buses and your little techniques. We didn't have a lot of snow days. I mean, it would have to snow 24 inches in a half an hour for us not to come to school. I mean, I remember going to school in tons of snow, 50 below, walking to school.
Well, we wouldn't have snow days per se. It would just be too cold.
Yeah, we had those. But not very often. We have them now, though. The school closings now is just it's insane. I guess it makes sense because, you know, you want your kids not to be out in the freezing cold or the snow, but I guess they just didn't care in the 70s when I grew up, because they never. I mean, very rarely would they call off school.
Yeah, but we didn't have stuff like polar vortexes.
Yeah,
things are out 10 minutes and you get frostbite.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think the term polar vortex was invented, but we still had that back in the 70s. You know what I mean? I think they say suddenly, there's a lot of catchphrase. Let's call up Tom Skilling right now and find out if...
I think it's because you guys were all using aerosol cans to make your hair really large that ruined the ozone.
Thanks
for
a lot,
us kids.
Old people.
Oh, man. Let's see. 815 area code says, going to the library for homework and finding a book meant that you needed to know the Dewey Decimal System and using a card catalog. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Or it wasn't even there.
Because somebody took it out.
No, it was at some other library.
Oh, right.
Because you would try to do some kind of search, and they'd be like, oh, no, this very specialized book that you need, not here.
Nah. Now you Google things. Don't even have to get up. You could do it on your phone. We used to have to learn the Dewey Decimal System, go to 15 libraries to get one book, and then that book would be at the one library that we wanted to go to. Somebody, Johnny, little Johnny, had already checked it out. 765 area, because taping your favorite song off of the radio.
Oh, yeah.
You did that, Esmeralda?
Yeah, I didn't have cash to spend on tapes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would always just do that and make my own mixtapes.
Oh, right off the radio. See, yep. Would you just wait for the song to come on and then hit play and record?
Oh, yeah. Just hours and hours. I would have it ready. So if it did come on, I could easily hit the record button.
So when you would do this, when you had the record, you had the whole thing at the ready, you had your tape recorder at the ready to do it. Now would all of these songs that you would tape also have the idiot DJ talking it to the post?
Yeah, sometimes. And that's actually, it's probably floating around somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I have a tape and it's James Van Osdell.
Oh, look at that.
Doing an intro.
Did he hit the post?
I think he did. Yeah,
okay. He's a pro. What song was it?
It was oh my gosh, was the Eat Jelly?
The song by
Flaming Lips.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, Flaming Lips.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
She don't eat jelly.
She don't eat jelly. Yeah. With James Van Osdell introducing it.
Mm-hmm.
Was he doing Time and Temps?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I forget what he was talking about. He might have been some show or something.
That's great. Dan, did you ever tape stuff off the radio?
Sure. Yeah, same thing. I mean, I know one of the things that was nice about Q101 was that they did 40 minutes commercial free at the beginning of every hour. So if you didn't hear the song in that 40 minutes, you knew it was going to be in that 7-8 minute gap. You know, they would come back, play 5 minutes commercial, and there would be like, you know, two or three songs, and then they'd have to break again. So if the song you were waiting for wasn't in that first 40 minutes, then you're like, all right, well, it's going to be in that next seven.
Was that how small their playlist was? Like you could actually hear a song?
Well, no, I mean, you know, it was just, you know, typical burn rates of 90 minutes, 2 hours, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you were listening long enough, you'd kind of figure out, like, and then, you know, JVO was always good about saying, like, all right.
Coming up next?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'd also call in and try to skew it my way, you know, songs.
Request songs.
And and then hope that they would get played.
Right.
But now, as I know, half the time you request a song and there's a 20-person line in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I've told this story on the air before. I didn't do a lot of taping off of the radio. But I've told you guys this story, I think, where the song Renegade by Styx had just been released.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a jam. And so I had the radio on with the tape recorder ready to go. You know, it was a tape in a it was a 2-in-1 radio with a tape deck. Obviously. So I had the radio on and I was ready and I was waiting for it and it would not come on. And I was waiting. I think I was flipping between MET and The Loop or whatever the hell it was. And I was waiting for Renegade by Styx. And I don't even like Styx. I did a little bit more when I was a kid because I was dumb. But now as an adult, nobody likes, if you're an adult, you don't like Styx. Come on. Now the South Side right now is really angry with me. Anyway, so I was waiting for Renegade, and it wouldn't come on. It wouldn't come on. And then my parents were taking me and my friends to Old Chicago. See, this is, I'm dating myself big time here. The fantastic indoor amusement park with the first loop-to-loop roller coaster in the middle of Bolingbrook, which was a place that I frequented. I mean frequented in the 70s a lot. So we were planning on going out to Bolingbrook and going to Old Chicago, which was one of my friends and our favorite place. And I was like, and I was waiting, and no renegade. So I put in a 120-minute tape, and I just hit play record, and we left for Old Chicago. And then, so we go, we do the Old Chicago thing. I come back, I run right to the recorder, and I rewind the tape, and then I play it, and hope in hopes that at some point they played Renegade, and about, I don't know, 45 minutes into the tape, I was listening to it and fast-forwarding through songs because they weren't Renegade. Fast-forwarding through it. And then finally, yeah, man, here's Renegade, the latest from Styx, Renegade. And then, boom, I got it, and I was so happy. But, so I had this 120-minute tape that I only cared about 3.5 minutes about. So I would just I would never rewind it all the way to the beginning. I would just rewind it to the beginning of Renegade. And then I didn't care about what was after. So I had this, I wasted an entire 120-minute tape. Or I should say one side, because it would be 60 minutes on a side. So so this whole hour of the side of this tape was just, I only used 3 minutes of it because I wanted to hear Renegade.
And
then
eventually
I got the album. But when it first came out, I was like, oh.
That was some precious real estate. Blank tapes, at least for me.
No, that's what we're talking about. We were talking about running out of blank discs, that these kids don't, you know, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff now.
And then my dad he went to Guatemala and he told me before, and he was like, I want you to make some tapes for your cousins of stuff you think
that they would like.
Cool.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
oh, you were so happy.
I was like, now's my chance to spread the love of what I know. And I guess they liked one of the tapes and the other one they didn't like. I don't remember what it was, but I painstakingly, I was like, what should I put on here?
And you were so, and did you record all of that off the radio?
I think that, and I had some CDs.
Oh, okay.
And because I had a fancy stereo that could do CD to tape.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, so I've been taping stuff off the radio. I don't know why I was so obsessed with Renegade. It had just come out. I had only heard it one time. I heard the song one time. And I was like, man, that song is a jam, and it's by Styx. And I became so obsessed with it that I did literally sit by on the radio with the tape waiting for it and then just risked it and pressed play and record when we left for Bolingbrook.
I sort of did that, too. I did that. For some reason, I got really into Jay-Z's Hard Knock Life.
Oh, God.
I just sat around waiting for it.
Had you ever seen Annie?
No.
No.
I just thought that was such a great song, and I was like, I must have it for my tapes.
Wow. Now, when did you discover it was from Annie? Years later?
Yeah, years later.
I always find it really funny when we're talking about rap, and then, you know, like, we talk about it, and then, like, I mention a sample, and people freak out. Dan, like, when I mentioned California by Tupac.
I'm still floored by that one.
That's Joe Cocker. That's Joe Cocker, man.
Fly Jams Friday has been very edifying because I realize how many songs I love from the 90s that were samples from stuff
exactly.
From the
70s. Exactly. Exactly. 815 area code. A thing kids don't do today is repair stuff. They just replace it. By the way, you could have had your left-handed friend right on your left hand. That's true.
See, but the thing about fixing stuff, a lot of stuff you can't anymore because it's so electronic.
Yeah, it's true.
There's a huge lawsuit going on involving farmers because, you know, back in the day, they could just repair their own tractors and buy the parts and things like that. And now, because some of it is electronic and the companies that own the software won't give it to them, like, they can't repair their own tractor.
Oh,
so there's
wow.
Really interesting class action lawsuit going on right now involving that.
Mm. Yeah, I saw this mini video of this guy who fixes Teslas. Just on his own. And because Tesla will not, there are no dealers or anywhere where you can get your Tesla fixed.
Oh,
you have to go straight to Tesla. And sometimes they're very secretive about everything getting fixed, or they just won't fix it. And this guy has like found, I don't know how he's found all these wrecked Teslas, but he's like managed to, he keeps them for the parts and stuff and fixes Teslas.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. It's really weird, Esmeralda, to you know, the parking lot that we use, because Dan and I come in together in the car,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, you know, now we used to park, you know, obviously when we were in the Tribune building, there was an outdoor parking lot, Tribune parking lot. Well, now there's like this indoor parking lot that we use here, like an underground parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird to see all the Teslas and all the electric cars that are plugged in. It's just because they have like whole sections that are just for the electric cars.
No, I saw them in L.A. It was weird to see a car actually like parked on the street, plugged in.
It was weird. It was weird. I mean, I realize I'm not naive, and I know that that exists, but it's just weird to see a whole section of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? With this plug.
It's just commonplace. It's like, oh.
I know. Okay. It's so crazy.
I thought that was the future, but.
Right. No, it's happening now.
Yeah.
The first time we came into the parking lot, Dan, the first time. And I saw those sections of the electric cars. I was like, this is just weird, man.
And it's like a bunch of floors, too, not just one little section.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot. This is really crazy. All right. Well, let's take a break. We're talking about the old days versus the new days because we're all old. And we have someone who's calling in about Styx Renegade. What's good? Okay, good. Has anybody texted in or called in about the 8-track of Ramble On?
Nobody has yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe Gollum will call in after he steals Robert Plant's girl.
My precious plant!
So, all right, let's take a break here, and we'll come back with more on WGN. Oh, I love this song so much! Truly one of my favorite songs of all time. And one of the reasons why the Guardians of the Galaxy sequel has, like, my favorite opening credits ever. It's fantastic. It's just Groot dancing to that song while everybody else is fighting aliens and shooting stuff. Dan, have you seen Guardians 2?
I have, yes.
Isn't it isn't it fantastic?
It is
the
great
opening. Esmeralda, have you seen Guardians 2?
Yes.
I love the opening so much. It's my favorite. Scott requesting ELO. Mr. Blue Sky is going to the show later tonight. You're going to be in for something, my friend. As long as they didn't as long as they don't lip sync it. And by the way, Scott, that's their closer before their encore. They close. I don't mean to screw it up for you, but I saw the set list that they've been doing on online, and they close with Mr. Blue Sky. So, boy, it's going to be a good show. They're playing in Allstate Arena, right? Man, that's going to be a good show. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about pains and stuff that we had to go through that today's kids never understand. Here is Chris on WGN. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, the thing I remember, I grew up in the 60s, and I remember the family car had a 400 cubic inch engine with 2 4 barrels.
Yeah, just giant. Giant.
Yeah. And that's not counting my Dodge Charger with a 426 Hemi mill.
Right.
You know, so any car you went out in, it could have been your last day on Earth.
Yeah, no,
you know?
Yeah, exactly right. And they also, like, how much gas would you go through? That was another thing. It's like 50 gallons of gas a day. Yeah, Chris, giant engines. All right, now here's Tom. Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Hey, good.
Yeah, so last year I was surprised to see on a CBS pregame, NFL, because they carry the AFC, they did, I swear, a 10-minute piece on how every time there was an assistant who liked the song Renegade, and he thought it'd be a great song to play at the stadium, and the first time he played it, the Steelers are down by 14, had a big comeback, won the game, and so now every game, every Steeler game between the third and fourth quarter, they play Renegade, and the crowd goes nuts.
That's great. That's in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh Steelers, and they even interviewed Tommy Shaw on the piece, and he was explaining how he wrote the song, and happy that people are still listening to his music years later.
That is a great story. That's a great story, man. So now Renegade is played between the third and fourth quarter at every Steelers game. That is outstanding. The place goes nuts. That's great. That's great. Okay, thanks, Tom. There you go. See, now, Esmeralda, I wouldn't have to wait around. I would just put on a Pittsburgh Steelers game and know when to hit the tape.
Or just buy it on the iTunes.
Right. No, but I'm just saying if that was the case, years ago. But, there are some songs that they play, the stadium, like get the crowd going songs that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand why they play YMCA. When there's a pitching change at Wrigley Field. I don't understand. I just don't understand that. Like, it's the opposing team. When they have a pitching change, they play YMCA. I don't understand that. Just weird. All right. Take a break, and then we got more pains that we had to go through that these kids today don't have to, the little bastards. All right. The news is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, 18 lovely stories above downtown Chicago. I'm your overnight dude here at 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. every day. Coming up after this show at 5 o'clock is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Wildcard Wednesday request.
Yeah!
And we're talking about pains that today's teens will never understand, and reminiscing a little bit about that. 847's request for Wildcard Wednesday is Here Come the Mummies with Let Your Freak Flag Fly. So there you go. Welcome back, everybody. And in a little bit, we're going to be talking about the best debut film performances ever. And we're also going to talk about the first time you ever noticed a great performance, like a great actor or actress. Maybe not specifically in their very first movie, but yeah. So there you go. IndieWire critics, by the way, this was a survey from IndieWire critics. And Don Shanahan, by the way, who has been on the show a couple of times, Dan, Don.
Sure.
He partook in this. It's a brand new survey that they did, and that's how I learned about it. Don had posted it, and I looked at it and saw. We've talked about this in the past, but I saw that there were new entries on here. And then when we talk about great film debuts, unbelievable performances in first movies, we can also talk about the first time you really noticed a terrific actor or actress. So, but right now we are talking about today's teens and things that they will never understand that we had to go through. And here is George on WGN. Hi, George.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Long-time listener, second-time caller. But anyway, it's funny because just recently I was talking to my kids, and I was pulling some boxes, and I, you know, find a tape. And I was like, oh, just telling about, I used to have a Walkman, and, you know, they were like, okay, cool. And I'm like, well, the way I used to save batteries, I used to pull a pen and just take my tape and, like, rewind it, you know,
yeah.
Just, like, swimming around and...
Right, you would say in a cassette tape, you would stick a pen or a pencil into the slot there and twist it so that you can rewind it.
Rewind it. So yeah, that was one of the things that I do. And another thing that I remember was like pagers. You know, today kids, I was making fun of my daughter because she texts all the time, and I'm like, no. Before I used to send those alphanumeric pagers.
Right.
And I would tell the first time I gave that number to my mom, I said, just use this for emergencies. And the first time she paged me, and it was like, I need milk. And I was like, okay.
That's not an emergency. That's not an emergency unless there's a milk shortage somewhere.
Oh, come on, Nick.
Yes, there you
You're lacking in milk.
That's true. George, thanks, man. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Take care. You know, it was funny when you would play cassettes, and then the cassette, the tape would get jammed in the cassette, and you would pull the cassette out, and all the tape would be hanging
up. That was the worst.
That's when you would get the pencil.
That was my worst nightmare.
You would have to pull the little tape out of there, make sure you didn't rip it. You know, make sure you didn't rip the tape in half or tear it as you're pulling it out of the inside of the machine. And then when you got it out, you had to get a pen and stick it into the thing and swing it back so that all the tape would wind back up. That was the struggles of listening to music.
You know what, too? Because we have everything on our phones and Spotify and everything, we don't have to think. And this was, I was even in college, so this is like 2001. I might have just been behind on the times, but I carried all my CD. When I was younger, I would carry all my tapes in a little backpack purse.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be jam-packed because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to want to listen to this car ride.
Right.
And then as I got older, I had stacks of CDs because I didn't want to put them in that CD booklet.
Right.
So I had some in a CD booklet, but then others I would just carry around, and then I would have to put that tape thing into my car's...
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a CD player
yet. Right. The converter.
To my Discman.
Right.
And then that's how I would play stuff. And this is dangerous, but I would be like driving and trying to change the CD.
Yeah.
So I'd be like trying with one hand.
Yeah, you're driving with your knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to get the CD back into the player. I had a Discman. Yeah, those were fun. Good old Discman.
And if you slightly jostled it.
Oh, yeah. Forget it.
Everything was gone.
It's ridiculous. We got a bunch of texts on this topic. 301 area code says, today's kids will never have the pleasure of having the football coach as your driver's ed instructor screaming in your ear the entire time. Okay. We got a traffic thing we have to go to. Esmeralda, go ahead.
Yes, I just got word all lanes are temporarily blocked right now on that inbound side of the Eisenhower. There's that police activity going on at 17th Avenue. So all lanes there temporarily blocked inbound Ike at 17th Avenue.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. Esmeralda's in the hut, and we're all good. All the good coverage is always in the hut. So there we go. 262 area code says they'll never hear your parents yell your full name, including middle name, to call you late for dinner or time to come home. Yeah, I used to. I knew I was in trouble when the middle name came out. The full name and the middle name. When my mom, Nicholas John, that was when I knew, uh-oh. I did something really bad because it's the full name and the middle name. 630 area code says turning the rotor on your TV. Does that mean the dial? Flipping the dial around on the TV? 630 area code says today's teens will never know about having no privacy on the phone. Houses had one or two maybe corded landlines in the kitchen or the living room where everybody could hear your conversation.
Or they would pick up the phone.
And listen. Yeah.
You'd be like, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Get off the phone. 301 area code says, having to put water in your car battery. 815 area code says, you could have 20 snow days and do homework for them and still have to make up days because the state requires so many days of attendance. 815 area code, different 815 area code says, having to be the remote control and get up and change the channel.
Oh, yeah, and as a kid, I don't know about your house, but my parents just, I was the little,
yeah,
do everything for them.
Yeah, that was a go ahead, change the channel.
Go do it, go.
Go change the channel, will you? How about you would change the channel on the old TVs, and they were the little dials that you would, you'd spin around, and then they would pop off, and then you'd have to use pliers. You ever do that? Or you'd have to...
Ours didn't do that.
Like the thing would pop off, the
I
actual
think it
dial.
Remained.
The dial would pop off, and then like we had to get a pair of pliers and stick it in and then twist it.
We had a really nice TV, too. It was giant.
Sure. It was a console TV?
Yeah, and it was in wood.
Yeah, like a piece of furniture. That was yeah. when your TV was big, made of wood, console TV, yeah. It was a piece of furniture.
We had that for a very long time.
Yeah. My parents had theirs for a long time, too.
I think even after the TV stopped, they kept it as just a thing.
Well, it's a lovely piece of furniture.
It was. It was a nice wood frame thing.
We got more texts coming in. Irwin says, not only was I the remote control for our TV, now everyone has a remote for almost everything. Do we really need a remote for your car stereo? No! 815 area code says things kids today have that we didn't. Power steering, power brakes, power windows, air conditioning, FM radio, and air conditioning in your house. 847 area code says my 6-year-old calls any kind of cord a charger, and when something gets thrown away, it gets deleted. Wow. Tim says, with old television sets, you had to warm them up for 15 minutes before the program was on. Then you had to use the fine tune knob to get the picture nice and sharp. Yeah, you did have to warm up your TV. And then when you turned it off, it would take a while because you'd have that little white dot that would be in the middle of the screen. Maybe you guys probably are too young for this, but there used to be, like, you turn the TV off, it would fade off, like, boom. To a white dot, just like right in the middle of the screen. It's like a white little white light dot, and then that would eventually go off when it was completely turned off, and that usually took a few minutes.
I also remember when channels didn't have whole days.
Oh, sure.
They would at least, well, the Spanish station didn't have its own channel yet.
It would share with other, yeah.
It would share with some, like, business.
Right, exactly.
Thing.
You're absolutely right.
And
it would
then
be
at, like, 4, it changed over.
It chained over, because I remember that. I can't remember what the channel was, what the Spanish channel
was. It was like a Bloomberg thing.
Exactly, and it was, like, ticker numbers yeah. under, running all the time on the channel, like, all the time. All right, here are some other things that standing in line for tickets. Buying tickets to a concert is still no picnic, but at least now young people can discover if the tour is sold out from the comforts of their computer rather than camping out in a long line.
Oh, yeah, I remember there was a Ticketmaster in the JCPenney
mm-hmm.
that we would go buy tickets for.
That's where you would get them?
Yeah.
I camped out for tickets, like, outside, slept outside three times for tickets. For the Police... I camped out, and for David Lee Roth on his Eat 'Em and Smile tour, I camped out, and we ended up getting third row. And I'm trying to remember I camped out three times. I can't remember the other. What was the other concert? Maybe it was the Police twice. I think it was the Police twice. So, I used to camp out for. Used to go to Wrigley and camp out for bleacher tickets. In the early 90s. Because they put the bleacher tickets on sale, and we would, you know, you would camp, and we camped out, and then until you got a bracelet, then you would get a bracelet and come back. You could go home and sleep for a couple hours, and then come back, and then your bracelet would put you in order, what order you ever came. And we got stacks of bleacher. That was the year that I was unemployed, so we camped out and got bleacher tickets, and we went to like almost every home game that summer, summer of 90, and then summer of 91. We went to. A ton of home games, but in the summer of 90, I was at Wrigley Field every day. I had just recently been fired, but our company was closed down. And so I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I had a severance thing and I wasn't working. So I was collecting unemployment. So I was like, well, what do I want to do? I'm going to spend every day Wrigley. My friend John and I, we went to like 900 home games that summer and we camped out for tickets the next year. We camped out for tickets 2 years in a row. We camped out for bleacher tickets. How about this? Kids today don't wait for a store to open, whether it's 3 a.m. or in the middle of a blizzard. We're living in a time when you can buy anything you want, whenever you want. Physical stores may close at night, but online shopping is 24/7. How about this one? Kids today don't have to share the family computer. Once upon a time, the family computer was a clunky machine that had a home on a desk in a common room of the house. Now a personalized laptop is a staple on every student's school supply list.
Oh, see, I was fancy, and they put it in my room.
Wait a minute. The only computer in the house was in your room?
Yeah. My parents didn't touch it.
Well, what about your brother?
My brother didn't either.
Really?
He's old. He was older once we got it. I was about 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's 7 years older than me. So
oh,
he was kind
I
of
see.
Like, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Weird mess.
Okay. Sitting through TV commercial breaks. Kids don't have to do that anymore. Live TV is still a thing, but recording or streaming your shows has made commercial breaks obsolete. That's not necessarily true, you know, when a dork like me has to watch Big Brother live. I can really in detail describe to you all of the promos for Magnum PI. And all of the promos for Cedric the Entertainer and Max Greenfield's new show, The Neighborhood. I see commercials for them, you know, when I, you know, it's you know, Big Brother is on three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to watch it live because I want to avoid spoilers, you know, which I'm going to do. By the way, when Top Chef comes back, remind Vic not to tell who the damn winner is.
Oh, man. Vic just shot you the dirtiest look. It was hilarious. He's laughing now. But at that first mention, I could see him through the like three panes of glass being like, oh.
I couldn't believe it. It was that morning too, man. And and all of a sudden Vic reports who the winner of Top Chef was, and I hadn't watched it yet. It's my favorite show ever. It was the first thing I was gonna do when I get home that morning was get Top Chef going and see who the winner was. Then Vic put it in the news report. I was like, no! It was like slow motion. You know how in movies it's like, no! That's what I did. And Esmeralda, I remember you saw me.
I was laughing because I knew. I was like, he hasn't seen it. Oh no.
So that's why I watch Big Brother. Although, you know, the winner of Big Brother is not going to be newsworthy. The reason why the winner of Top Chef was newsworthy is because it was a local story. The guy who won's from Chicago. He's a Chicago chef. So of course that's why you would include it in a news report. I just didn't want to hear it. I was like, no. The good news was it was the person I was rooting for. That was the good news. Oh man. All right. We got a ton of texts here. We're gonna have to wrap this up because we're gonna get into acting debuts and or not just, you know, movies, the first movies, but also first time you ever saw an actor or actress when they blew you away. So that's coming up, but we have to take a break here for some commercials, and we'll come back and talk more. 312-981-7200. George Karzis from The Greatest Restaurant on the Planet is probably very happy right now because somebody requested the theme from Mannix. 301 area code on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! All right, 312-981-7200. We've been talking about things that kids don't have to put up with like that we had to. Here are some other things. 773 area code says, swimming naked in a high school pool. That would never happen today. The excuse at St. Pat's was that fabric from the student swim trunks would clog the filtering system. Huh? That was the excuse. Now, Dan, you went there like the year that they stopped swimming naked, right?
No, they had stopped it, thankfully, several years before.
Oh, okay.
But we still had to wear Speedos.
Yeah, my dad had to swim naked. He went to Lane, and that was when Lane was an all-boys school. Can you imagine the size of that school just being boys?
That's crazy.
Because, I mean, Lane is a massive school. But yeah, when my dad went there, he told me, I remember when I was a kid, he was like, yeah, we had to swim naked. And I'm like, what? So, yeah, swimming naked. Doesn't make any sense. 815 area code says, how about AOL dial-up? When you'd see the little dude running, you'd see his progress.
And that noise.
Yeah.
My dad would get so mad because I was online. Because he has a side business, and he would be like, don't clog up the telephone during, like, times when people should be calling.
Well, that would always happen, right? You, like, somebody would pick up the phone, and then you go, damn it, because it took you 10 minutes to get online.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick up the phone, and, like, that's it. 630 area code says, in the 70s, I had an afternoon paper route, and I had to deliver. And my mom couldn't help because we didn't have a second car. I had 56 papers in my basket. The trick was to get it done before dark and not wipe out in the sleet or wet snow. Let's see. 847 area code says that the rotor refers to the motor which would spin the antenna on the roof. Oh, okay. Okay. Kathy says, how about not being able to go to IMDb to see who an actor was in a movie you were watching or get info about it? Sometimes we never found out.
Oh, I had a CD-ROM that was all about movie trivia and had movies on it. And I would read that thing.
You would?
Just because I was so bored.
I was going to say, you haven't seen 9,000 classic movies and yet you had this CD-ROM.
I know, and it was just like, you know. Starting probably 96.
If you want to see something
ending at 96,
you want to see something really hilarious, look up Marc Maron's last appearance. I want to say it was on Kimmel when you couldn't look something up back in those days when you couldn't look something
mm-hmm.
you couldn't look something up. Maron did this whole thing about not remembering George Washington Carver's name. I can't do it justice, but if you, it's out there. It's on YouTube. 708 area code. They will never feel the pain of right guard antiperspirant in an aerosol can. Oh yeah, antiperspirant in an aerosol can.
Oh, and also very old websites.
The ones that are just like terrible looking,
just like really bad
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have the fancy stuff. And actually, I just remember the Space Jam website is still up.
It is?
The Warner Brothers. I don't know why. Someone had pointed it out like a long time ago. Maybe Warner Brothers now is just like, yeah, let's just keep it up there.
Wow.
But it's still up there in all its GeoCities glory.
That's fantastic. 708 area code says, what about putting pennies on the arm of the record player so the record wouldn't skip? That's absolutely right. Stack a penny on it so it wouldn't skip over the scratch. 847 area code says, we had to use shovels instead of snow blowers and our lawnmowers weren't self-propelled. And then Canadian Bill says, did you ever splice broken cassette tapes? You could buy a thing from Radio Shack. It would hold your tape. You would cut it and put on a special tape. Then you would play the tape with a 3-second gap.
Whoa. Man, my whole tape recording experience would have changed if I had that.
If you had that. Now, Dan, you did reel-to-reel here, right?
I did, yeah.
You did a lot of splicing and editing here. And that machine is in the Steve King Memorial Studio, right?
Right.
With all of those things, old technology, pretty cool. God, I remember when I would set up for a show and I had like stacks of carts. You remember?
Oh, sure.
The cart machines; those were fantastic. All right, we got a break. We got the news, and then after the news, we are going to talk about amazing acting film debuts. 312-981-7200. News is next.